In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Amen. Well, we're doing the fifth Sunday of Lent, and what I'm going to do is begin today and then follow through on reflections on the spiritual life, on the call to holiness. So we're going to start at the beginning, the purgative way. As you know, there's purgative, illuminative, and unitive. And I want to go through each one of those in the next three sessions. Maybe skip because of Holy Week and so forth, but do the three of them rather quickly. Why? I think it's great reflection for us, but it also makes us more alert dealing with people, particularly in the confessional. Help them. Where are they? And you know, you hardly ever hear anymore the call to holiness. You know, we're called to be saints. I forgot whether it was Mauriac or somebody said the only tragedy in life is not to be a saint. It's what we're here for. So, anyway, the purgative way. Step one is to turn from serious sin. Make a serious assessment of your life, including a general confession. Now you can repeat that step, last one, several times as you move. But you see, turn from serious sin. Finish with serious sin. How many of our people are addicted to pornography on the internet or elsewhere, to alcohol, to food, to wasting time? These are addictions. And some of them lead to or are already serious sins. So you got to turn from that. That's a struggle. But God is with us in that struggle. So it's the first thing that we have to do. And we priests have to do it too. Finished with serious sin. Okay. Now, find some good company, suitable company to hang around with. You know, otherwise, you know, we'll take the level that they're at. Now, they may not be all terrible people, but we've got to hang around with people who want to be holy. And I don't mean just want to be pious. I mean want to be holy. Want to be like our Lord Jesus Christ in a real normal way. You see? Also, try to get some sort of spiritual guidance. This is the entrance way into the purgative way. This is the entrance into it, you see? Then think honestly about your life. Where do you run the risk of sin? When you're with this group, you're doing fine. When you're with this group, you're drinking too much, you're involved in sex, there's something going on. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Stay away from that group. Hang around with this group. I mean, are you serious about wanting to belong to God? Do you want to know God in this life and rejoice in Him and know how to guide your life? Well then, do these kind of things and try to get, a guide. And find some real friends. Now, sometimes that's an effort, but one way to start, see, if you're in a parish, go look for the St. Vincent de Paul Society or something so that you're with people who want to move with the Lord. Okay. Now, and get to confession when you need it. Uh, There are a lot of priests who need this advice too. Mostly because in the seminary, how many times did you hear anybody sound a call to holiness? To holiness. Priest, layperson, anybody. We're called to be holy, to give glory to God, to build the church, to bring in people to salvation by our words, by our example, but most of all, by our own response to God. Okay. So now, we're on our way. Now what? Well, one of the things you'll notice, you've got to cut off affection for sin. We can stop sinning and still have an affection for it. You know, I stop, but I wish I could go on sinning. That if you keep that, you're going to go on sinning. This was St. Francis de Sales is good on this one. Cut out the affection for sin. By the way, I'm getting some of this from Ralph Martin's book, The Fulfillment of All Desire. If you don't know it, it's a good book to have. Okay. Go to confession frequently, but reflect before you go. Confession has become, and in this we priests have to help the people, it's become kind of a parking ticket. You go in, you tell your sins, you say three Hail Marys, and you go out. I mean, like, it's not supposed to, it's a sacrament. And it gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the forgiveness of sins. We say that, I think it's the Tuesday after Easter, ipse est remissio peccator, because he himself is the remission of sins. We just don't get forgiven. Something takes its place, namely the third divine person. Okay? Then establish a regular prayer life. Prayer is the thermometer of where we are. It's not the whole of the spiritual life, but it's the thermometer, and it's an absolutely essential way. If you're not praying, it's over. That's all. You're never going to get anywhere. And if you've come from a life, you know, where there's been serious sin, you're going to go back into it. That's why when people talk about the purgative, illuminative, and unitive, they often talk a lot about prayer because it's the thermometer. If I'm drinking a lot, watching a lot of pornography, you know, my prayer life is not going to be stunning. Can't be. You see, this whole trajectory is moving us out of disorder into order. Or as St. Bernard said, out of the region of dissimilitude into the region of similitude. A lot of them, you see, said, we're created in the image and likeness of God. Well, we lost the likeness, but we still have the image. So our whole spiritual life is acquiring, once again, a likeness to God. And so, get a regular prayer life, because it's the thermometer. You can tell where you are. Find a time, find a place, and be accountable. Tell somebody, I'm going to pray every day, so check up on me and see if I do. And when they ask you, don't get in a mood. Don't say, well, it's none of your business. You know, if you haven't prayed, get going. So you find a time and a place. I'll be back to those. Learn a basic structure for prayer. Anyone. You look at the four parts of the Mass. What do? We repent. Then we listen to the Word. Then we praise, alleluia. And then we intercede. Four parts. Say you're going to pray for 32 minutes, because that's divisible by four. 8 minutes of repentance. 8 minutes of Word. 8 minutes and so forth. When you get to the Word, you pray, Lord, give me a word that'll touch me and change my heart, and write it out. So it's there. The next day, I wrote that with my own hand. This is what the Lord told me yesterday. Okay? It reminds me of a group of young men. I was with them, kind of the leader. We were having supper. One of the guys said, you know, the Lord showed me that I think I'm better than all you guys. And so, well, have you done anything about it? What are you doing? He said, look, he only told me yesterday. So, but he does tell us, you see, and helps us. Now make sure you have a regulated use of the television. In fact, if you're smart, you'll just throw it out. I threw mine out about 10 years ago. Except for the Super Bowl, I hardly watch anything. And the time I've saved, the clarity in my mind, you know, the thing is smutty, even when it's not supposed to be. So it lowers you. Go on a good retreat. Find out if it's good before you go, because some of them are not a waste of time. Now, the secret is desire. Desire is the secret. God stirs up that desire. So we have to hang around with God. You see, prayer will increase our desire. As our desire for God grows, we say to God, I'll trade you any sin I've got if I can just know you better. It gets to be a desire. You see? And, you know, I think I already told you this story about two friends. One said to the other, you better pray. He said, look, I'm busy. I got 6 kids. I'm a lector. I'm on the council, parish, but I got no time for prayer. He said, look, give me 15 minutes a day. He said, all right, I'll try. A month later, they met again. So number one says to number two, well, how you doing? He says, I'm praying an hour a day. He said, I thought you didn't have time. He said, it got to be a desire. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for us if we yield to him. It gets to be a desire. So that you sell them after a while, as I think I already said, you tell the Lord, look, I'll trade you any sin I've got if I can just know you better. That's the way he pulls us, you see. But if we're not praying, he can't do that. Desire, okay? So the biggest struggle is to be regular at prayer. You've just got to do it. What you can do is tell somebody, I'm praying every day. Check up on me. So the next day he says, did you pray? Don't get mad. Just say, no, I didn't. I'll do it later. But it's nice to have a checkup, okay? One of the biggest helps in all of this is this grace of baptism in the Spirit, which is, you see, as the Pope himself says, I'm just going to quote him for you. Today, I would like to extend the invitation to all. Let us rediscover, dear brothers and sisters, the beauty of being baptized. All of us rediscover the beauty of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let us recover awareness of our baptism and our confirmation, ever timely sources of grace. So what he's done here, you see, is put the accent on where it belongs. Baptism in the Spirit is a grace of awareness. I know Jesus. I can see him at work in my life. From that comes the ability to yield to the gifts. So that is the beginning of the spiritual life. We have to help our people struggle. I mean, everything in their life pulls them away. Turn on the TV. Even the good shows are smutty, for heaven's sakes. Never mind the bad ones, you know. And there's violence and innuendo all over the place. At work, there's enmity, there's anger, they have got to be helped by the Lord, and we have got to help them go get the help.